And from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what has been planted, time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the busyness that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds, yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in their toil. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Seasons. There is a season for every event under heaven. Our lives are filled with seasons, aren't there? There's the spring season, a time for new life and planting. The summer season, a time for growth. The fall season, a time for harvesting. And a winter season, a time for rest. And in one way, death for many plants and animals. There's baseball season, football season, basketball season, hockey season, hunting season, fishing season, and tis the season to be jolly, fa-la-la-la-la-la. Yes, there is a season for every activity, and within the season, a time for everything. Tuesday night, we will witness the end of one season and the beginning of another. We are well aware of what the season of 2019 has brought us, but what in the world will 2020 bring? We don't know. You know, today we live in a season of science and technology, and one convenience is that we have this outside button that operates an inside doorbell. And all we have to do is ring that doorbell for access. But, you know, when you really think about it, that button is primarily for friends and acquaintances, isn't it? We are a little reluctant to open our doors and invite in perfect strangers. We want to know who they are and what do they want. Sometimes we find it necessary, though, to invite a stranger into our homes for one reason or another. And such will be the case on Tuesday evening as we come to the end of an old year and find a brand new year, a stranger, standing at our doorstep. And as we look back on 2019 and what it brought us, we may want to just turn out the lights and pretend no one's home, right? But there is a stranger there, and we can't keep out. Whether we want it to or not, 2020 is going to come in and make itself at home for a full 12 months. And since there's nothing we can do about it, we might as well open the door and politely say, "Come on in, New Year." And with God's help, we will handle you day by day. Yes, in about 64 hours, the new season of 2020 will be upon us. And 2019 will be history. And what will the new year bring? I don't know. But I do know that it's in God's perfect timing. But before we look at 2020, let us revisit a past season. Let's go back to the year 1 AD, Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. Actually, let's go back to a little farther back to 1407 BC, before Christ. The Holy Spirit fell upon Balaam the sorcerer, and he prophesied that a star would come up out of Jacob and a scepter would rise out of Israel. And 1400 years and several prophecies later, the people were still waiting for the star to come out of Jacob and save them. They must have been wondering, what is wrong? What's taking God so long? You know, today in our world of almost instant gratification, we struggle just to wait for something to load up on our iPhones, right? Can you imagine waiting 1400 years? Why was God waiting? And we don't know. But perhaps it took that long for the religious leaders to spiritually degenerate to the point that they would hate and envy and be jealous enough to put an innocent man to death. Perhaps God needed that much time for the Roman government to become such that they would be willing to crucify an innocent man. But for whatever reason, the season had come, and God began his plan of salvation through Joseph and Mary. But what about this timing thing, God's perfect timing? Mary was a peasant girl. She was to be the mother of God, and yet she was a virgin. How is that perfect timing? Mary was pregnant, and she and Joseph were not yet married. How is that perfect timing? They were to be away from home when the baby was born. Is that perfect timing? And the town they went to was all full up. No one would make room for them, so the Messiah was born in a stable amongst animals. Is that perfect timing? During this time, there was in power a jealous and crazy king who murdered his own sons and then murdered hundreds of other people's sons trying to destroy this child. This is perfect timing? And because of this king, the Holy Family had to flee to a foreign country for a few years as refugees. This is perfect timing. If anything, it seems to me this is not perfect timing. But it was perfect, all of it. It was just as God wanted it, just as he planned, and it fulfilled all the prophecies. My friends, your life is also in God's perfect timing. Regardless of the setbacks and the inconveniences and the struggles, you are where and you are when God wants you to be. Yes, God has a proper time for everything, and we are part of that perfect timing. Have you ever wondered why you weren't born in medieval England or during the Renaissance of Europe or the Old West or maybe sometime in the future? Well, God knows, for he planned for you to be where and when you are from the beginning. Our problem is that we want to know the whole plan laid out for our lives, right? But we can't. So a couple things we need to understand is that, one, it's okay to want to know. It's okay to seek. I mean, one of the things that raises us above animals is this desire to understand the big picture, to see things in its entirety. And so we pursue science and we pursue philosophy and theology. But you see, in the beginning, mankind knew what God's thoughts were because God walked and God talked with us in the garden. He shared his thoughts. But after our fall from grace through sin, we were spiritually separated from God and his knowledge. And we were left to go along day by day without a clear direction. Which brings us to the second point here is because we don't know everything, we must take steps to figure out what we should do each day. Now we must ask God, Lord, what is it you would have me do? We must try to discern the proper time to do these things and who to do them with and for. And this is done through reading our scriptures. It's done through prayer. It's done through sitting in quietness and stillness and trying to discern. And this includes our reactions to unforeseen events that will occur in our lives in the coming year of 2020. For some of you, it'll be a 2020 will, there will be joy and new life in your family. And for others of you, there will be sorrow due to the loss of a loved one. Some of you will build structures and dreams and families. And others of you will destroy the things that you've built. Some of you will grow and plant new friendships, new dreams, and your faith. And for others, you will pull up and destroy those friendships, contracts, relationships. For some of you, the year 2020 will be a year of joy and laughter. And for others of you, it'll be a season of grief and tears and sorrow. However, though the sorrow may last through the night, the joy comes in the morning. It is but a season. For some of you, you will begin or continue to search for your hopes and dreams, and others of you will give up. For some of you, 2019 was a time to be silent. It was a time you kept quiet. And maybe you've had many seasons of being quiet, but 2020 will be your time to speak, your time to be heard. What will 2020 bring? I don't know. But I do know that God already knows what will happen, and it's all in His perfect timing. Our job is to discern how we're going to react and respond to these events. And so we must ask, Lord, what would you have me do? Unfortunately, many people struggle to move into a new year, to strive and hope and dream, because they're still living in the past year. They haven't let go of the past. Some people continue to celebrate their victories and successes and never strive to create new ones. They try to relive the good old days, but the world doesn't wait, and it moves on, and they're left behind. Others, they imprison themselves in the past year with holding grudges and not letting go of anger and hanging on to bitterness of the past year. And all others, they oppress themselves by not forgiving themselves and holding on to sins of the past. But the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 3:13, forget what is behind and strive toward what is ahead. And Paul had good reason to forget what was behind, because if you remember, he did a lot of terrible things. He held the coats for those who stoned Stephen, and he approved this execution. And he threw hundreds of people into jail. However, Paul did not dwell on the past things, but he rose above them. There's a story of two brothers who were caught stealing sheep, and they were found guilty in a court of law. And their punishment was to be branded with an S and a T on their forehead that stood for sheep thief. The one brother, unable to handle the shame and the stigma, ran off into the wilderness and roamed around, and after a while succumbed to the elements and died. But the other brother decided that he would stay and live such a good life as to win the respect of his neighbors. As the years went by, he became known as a God-fearing and righteous man. One day, when he was an old man, a stranger came into town and saw him and asked a neighbor, hey, what does the ST on his forehead stand for? And the neighbor said, well, I don't rightly recall because it happened so long ago, but I think it stands for saint. You see, one brother couldn't let go of his past. He couldn't forget his past, and it destroyed him. But the other one accepted the forgiveness of Christ and asked, Lord, what would you have me do? And he set goals and hopes on what was ahead. And with God's help, he overcame his past. In 2019, we all had successes and good times in one way or another. But God has many more awaiting us, so we don't have to hang on to those past victories, but we can go into 2020 optimistically and with excitement, waiting for what God has ahead for us. In 2019, we have all been wronged, and we have been hurt by someone, and we've all hurt someone as well. But just as we would want to be forgiven, we need to forgive. For if we don't, we will not be able to go into 2020 the way we should, because part of us will still be chained in 2019. And like the second brother, like Paul, we've all done things in our past, maybe even within this last year, that we are ashamed of. And we live with the tension of what we've been and what we hope to be. But if our hope is in Christ, then we can let go of the past shame and guilt and anger and bitterness. We can leave it at the foot of the cross and look forward to what God will help us to become. Don't dwell on your past. Forget it. Instead, grow in the knowledge and love of God by focusing on your relationship with Him and accept that you are forgiven and move on. 2020 is standing on the front porch and it's ringing our doorbell. And whether we want it to come in or not, it will just the same. To be sure, 2020 will be filled with joy and sorrow, failure and success, stress and relaxation, hopes fulfilled, dreams lost, all of which will happen in God's perfect timing. For there is a time for everything under heaven. God has blessed us with this year, and He's allowing us to move into the next. What will you do with the season of 2020? The things, you know, and the things that God has planned for you. Will you spend it in anger and bitterness? Will you continue to cling to the past? Will you waste it on selfish ambition and gain? Or will you make it the most of whatever comes and use the year to serve God and one another in fullness and faithfulness? You know, one of the New Year's customs that we make each year is a New Year's resolution, right? We resolve to do something different or do something better. Some people resolve to be nicer. Some people resolve to change jobs or stop smoking. Do you know what the number one resolution is? To lose weight, yes. But this morning, I would like you to make a New Year's resolution concerning your spiritual life. I want you to think about, what would you like to change? What would you like to do better spiritually? And I want you to write that down. You can write it down on a corner of your bulletin, the back of your bulletin, there's a nice white space there. But write it down. Because they say that when we write things down, we have a better chance of fulfilling that. You know, maybe in 2020, you resolve to read your Bible every day. Maybe you resolve that in 2020, you're going to read the entire Bible. Maybe you will resolve to be more consistent in your weekly worship, or to get involved in a ministry, or better yet, to start a new ministry. Maybe in 2020, you resolve to tithe 10% of your income, or to have a stronger prayer life. Whatever it may be, write it down. And then put that somewhere where you're going to see it, on your bathroom mirror. Put it on the visor of your car or the dashboard of your car, or put it on your computer, or make it your phone image. But somewhere where you'll see it each and every day. 2020 lies in front of us, friends, and the choices are ours. So choose this day whom you will serve. Amen.